I'm glad you're enjoying your conversation. I probably am going to interrupt some of that, but I thought maybe it would be okay for us to get started. And we have a few things on the program today that might be enjoyable. I do want you to be aware of the brochure that you have at your place. That is for you to keep. It's a souvenir brochure. 15 years ago, this chapel was built. Some of you have never seen the chapel until you came on this visit. And I've heard you remark about how beautiful this building is. And of course, the feature in this building is the stained glass. And we have never had anything that describes that for our campus guests to take with them. They come in here on tours, they admire the windows, and they go out there at the kiosk and they find out about the symbolism that's involved in the color schemes and in just the design of those windows. And we have never had anything for them to take with them. Now we do. And this brochure was produced last month. And we hired somebody to design it. And then I believe it is one of the most striking brochures that we have. And it's not intended to be fully informational. It does not describe every window. It just samples a couple of windows. But it does tell the story and does give a little bit about the artist and how she was impacted by her commission on this assignment. And so that is in the brochure. And then the brochure ties that in to the event that we just experienced outside. And I think it will be a wonderful piece for people to take with them as a souvenir of their visit on campus. So please take that with you and enjoy it. I did call or email Jeremiah Aberlick, who is featured here on the front. The designer said to me, he was looking at a lot of pictures that I gave him, and he said, Who is that man? What disciple did he play? What apostle was he? And I said, well, he was Thomas. And he said, well, which window is Thomas? And when he identified the two, he put them together here on the front cover. So I hope you will enjoy that brochure. And this it was intended to be released for this occasion. So we're feeling pretty special about that and saving it until you arrived. And we wanted the people in the service this morning to have that. So enjoy that. I thought I might just refresh our memories about how this ceremony began. There is one person in this room who remembers that probably better than I do. We have a very special person among the 60 plus apostles that are here today, and that is one man who was in the original group of apostles in 1975, and that's Ernest Mesha. Ernest, would you stand, please? You're a celebrity.
I wasn't sure where I was coming that old driveway. I haven't been back since 76.
Oh. Yeah. And I said to another man last night in a phone conversation, I said, you're going to have to find us now because you've been gone too long. We've been surrounded. But when Ernest was a student here in the early 70s, we were out here in the middle of nowhere. And we have very few buildings surrounding the campus. So it's a delight, Ernie, for you to be back. I can't tell you how moved I was in my spirit when I heard that you were going to come all the way from Vermont. And we appreciate you coming. Anyway, so Dr. Oliver, L.S. Oliver, was the president at that time. And he went to Audrey Williamson and he said, we're going to dedicate this court. And could we do something special? Could we maybe do a pageant or something that would feature the apostles? Because the court was built with the 12 walkways and was going to be called the Apostles' Court. And she said, well, we'll put something together. And so she wrote the scripts that you heard this morning, 36 years ago. And then we trained sophomore students. We picked 11 sophomore students to play those parts. And the wives of those students decided they would find some material and sew up some costumes. So Mrs. Williamson gave, out of her own pocket, I believe, gave them $75 and said, see what you can find. And they were delighted because they found material on sale. And they came back having spent $74.99. So costumes were made, and then the event was beautiful. It was so wonderful to dedicate the court, and then we came back to the next commencement the next year, and they said, you know, that went well last year. Could we do that again? So we chose 11 more people and put them in those costumes and got them out there, and they said their part, and it went well. And the next year they wanted it again. And so for 35 years now, we've been doing that. It's been my privilege, actually, to be involved in the casting of those apostles. And I have taken that as a very serious thing. Some of you may not know that I watch people as they go through school here. And I have my long list. And I have my short list. The long list are people that I really want to keep an eye on, thinking maybe they might be an apostle someday. And as you know, there is no campaigning for this. There are no tryouts. And so if Ron Addig comes to you and says, I want you to be an apostle, you probably ought to say yes. And so... through the years, it's just been a real joy to find people that I felt represented well. Their life, their personality had something to do with the apostle that I wanted them to play. And some of you have come back to tell me many times that really you were able to identify strongly with that apostle. And so there's been a lot of thought go into the casting of those through the years. And I know that a lot of people, I would like a lot more people to be involved, but that's just not the way it works out. So we just kept doing it. And now it has become a very cherished tradition. And you're a part of that, and I'm grateful. Sometimes through the years, we have things happen that are a bit strange or unusual, and I've kept track of a few of those things, and I call it NBC Apostles Trivia. So, you know, when something happens, I just make a little note about that and add it to my trivia file, and I have a few things that I thought maybe I would share with you this time. There have been two NBC apostles with the very same first and last name. Well, that can be complicated, but it was further complicated by the fact that their middle initial was the same. So, you know, if you were a James Anderson, or you were a James E. Anderson, it was important to me to know at this point whether you were James Earl or James Everett. And I still can't get it straight. So neither of those James Andersons are here this time. One of them had planned to come and then had to change plans. But kind of an unusual thing that two people for this assignment could have had the same name. Also, there are many student apostles that have had the same name as the apostle they represented. That was not generally by design, that just happened. I guess you wouldn't have an idea how many that would be, but as I took inventory of that over the last 35 years, I discovered that there were 8 of those people. Peter Barter, Thomas Fender, Thomas Waller, John Grant, James Anderson, James Spahn, Thomas Bullinger, and James Stevens. And then I got to looking a little closer, and I discovered that there was a Joe Thomas that played Thomas, so he counts. And Jonathan Humbert, we count him. And Jonathan Green, you're here today, John. JJ, we call you. But that's been an interesting bit of trivia for me. It probably isn't interesting to you, but... who did I miss? I'm sorry. I'm going to get that one on my list. And what year were you? 93. Okay. All right. Philip Buck played Philip. Did I miss anybody else? My eyesight's gone bad since I saw you last. Yes, because your real name is Thomas John Rabo. He goes by John, so I didn't catch that, but it's T. John, T.J., Thomas John. Thank you, John. Thank you, Thomas John, for reminding me. Which apostle were you, Thomas or John? He was Thomas, and he was Thomas today. Okay. Did I miss any others? All right, I'm pleased to be corrected. I know that shocked you. We also have some faithful attenders. Is it possible, maybe is the question, that any of the apostles from the past years have attended all three reunions, 95, 2000, 2005, and now this one in 2010. Are there any of you who have attended all four of these reunions? Would you stand so we can see you? No. Is it possible? It's possible, but it didn't happen. Okay. How many of you have been to three of the four reunions? Okay. Mark? Good. BL, James? I think, Morris, I think you have been. Well, you should have been.
Yeah.
He's relying on his memory, which is not reliable. But you're here in town, and I'm guessing you have been. I'd have to check the roll. Yeah. All right. Here's a bit of trivia I call In the Bloodline. There has been only one father-son combination in the history of this tradition. That is, the father was an apostle, and then many years later, the son was an apostle. And I thought I should write that down. James Oakley was the father, and Daryl Oakley was the son.
Daryl.
Yeah. And then I call this bit of trivia, whether or not. How many times have we taken the convocation indoors because of weather? Anybody have an idea? Wrong. No. We should have. Yeah. Five. We've taken it in five times. And it was interesting. Last year when we had to go in, we really were due because the previous time we took it in was 95. So, you know, it had been a long time. Now, there were some years where we should have gone in, and you may remember those. Some of you may remember those. It was cold. People had blankets around them. It was so cold, or it would be so windy, or it would be so hot, and people were baking. And so we've had unusual circumstances for this occasion, but we've been stubborn enough to stay outside unless we were providentially hindered. And then we took it inside. I call this bit of trivia bad memory. Did any of you forget your lines? Don't confess. It's okay. We noticed it at the time. We did not hold it against you. I made no notes. One year, and I don't remember if you people are here, but one year we skipped an apostle. Now we were about over here in the court, and that man had said his lines, and then two over started his lines. Are you here today? Would you care to confess that? No, he just skipped a guy. You know, and I sat up there on the platform thinking, okay, you guys created it, you can solve it. And sure enough, they did solve it. The next responsible man just paused and motioned to the guy that got left out. He took over, said his part, and then we skipped the guy that talked and went on. So, little bits of trivia. I do remember the year that I asked Jay Bruner if he would be an apostle. I caught him on the sidewalk or something, and I said, Jay, I really would like for you to be an apostle. And in the ceremony this year, and he said, well, is he from Arkansas? I said, no. He was not from Arkansas. Nor do I expect you to be. Well, just a bit of trivia there, anyway. I have also been trying to track apostles who have been involved in global service in the Church of the Nazarene particularly, but not exclusively. And I have a list of a few people that have been involved in other world areas. In fact, Jeff Ewing, who was an apostle in 2007, has within the last year taken his family to the Tonga. And they are ministering there as voluntary missionaries through the Nazarene Mission Corps. They have, the Tonga is called the Friendly Islands and is situated east of the Fiji Islands in the South Pacific. And they're really enjoying their time there. They do have a website, a blog, and some things that help us keep in touch with them. Chris Verniers was an apostle in 2005, and he is serving with his family as a full-time missionary with Mission Mobilization International. And they live in Belgium. He serves on the police force as a chief inspector. He combines his police work with being the senior pastor of River Family Church. And during 2009, their little house church of about 20 grew to 70 people. He travels actually around the world in training firefighters, police, military, government officials in numerous world areas and mobilizing them to learn about their skills and then come to Christ. So it's really an evangelistic effort and a wonderful one. Tim McKiffin and his wife Susan are apostle. He was an apostle in 2000, and they are serving as global missionaries for the Church of the Nazarene in the country of Chile. And they've been there since August of 2008, but prior to that, they were in Argentina for 6.5 years. So doing a wonderful work for us there south of the equator. Actually, they came to us, I'm remembering, they came to the Bible College and were tent maker missionaries for 5 years prior to coming here, 5 years in Hong Kong and 9 years in Barcelona, Spain. So have done some wonderful missionary work. Rolf Kleinfeld, who I've been in touch with now since, with regular contact since January, wanted to be here for this occasion so much. He's been serving as the field strategy coordinator in Southeast Asia. They've done their work in Cambodia as well as Thailand. And just recently, in the past year, his wife has had serious physical difficulties. And so, in fact, as we are here, they are moving back from the country to the United States. They will have an opportunity to revisit that an assignment for in a year from now. So she's doing much, much better physically, but for this year, they will not be serving there, but have had, I think, 7 years in that area and done a great job. If you know of others that I should know about, please do get that information to me. I'm just trying to track it. I think it's a fascinating thing. I've decided that we could give about 15 minutes to open mic. And I know that this, I'm taking a chance here. And just this past week, as my students gave their speeches in speech class, I had the stopwatch out. And I forgot to bring it with me this morning, or this afternoon, but I have a built-in timer. And we do have a hands-free mic that we can use on this side. I need probably somebody to be the runner with that mic. And then we have, is that the one only one you will use? Okay. All right. And my idea is that you may have a very special memory that you would like to share. It can be humorous. It doesn't have to be. Maybe it's a memory of a class you took, or a memory of a professor. Be careful. Memory of an event or some experience that you had while you were at the Bible College that has had impact upon you, and you wouldn't mind sharing that with us. It is hard for me to assign people to that because everybody has their own memories. So if you have something you'd like to share with us, we're going to take a few minutes here to do that. And Rick, are you going to run that mic? Okay, Rick will do that. Rick's our photographer, trying to document all of this for us today. And he will bring the mic to you. If you would just stand where you are and prepare to share a memory with us. I know I didn't give you, this is impromptu speaking. You're not going to be graded. I never grade impromptu speeches in my class. All right, over here. Maybe say your name and the year you were what apostle? That would be a good way to start.
My name is Ed Kyle, and I graduated in 85. Prof probably remembers this, but we were out here doing our rehearsal time, and he was down there busy talking with somebody, and I thought, well, I think I might get his attention. And I said, hi, I'm Jamie. I'm Alfie's boy. And Prof, after he had a coronary, I don't know if he remembers this, but you know, he just told me, he says, do not do that tomorrow.
I can believe I said that. Okay. All right. Some memory. Sam Lacombe, where are you? Was in my office yesterday and sharing a memory from a class retreat that he was on. I don't know if that's something you want to share or not, Sam, but sure was. It brought back a lot of things to my mind. You don't have to tell all the detail, but...
Yeah, one of the things I came away with, the key thing that I came away with from Nazarene Bible College was a new understanding of the second work of grace in our lives. When I came here, I had a real problem with my temper. At the end of my freshman year, Professor Hendricks was teaching holiness class, and the way he brought that, I began to understand clearly what the second work of grace really was, and I challenged the Father to release me from my temper, to give me that deliverance that I was so hungry for, and he did. Within a few moments, I was on my face on the kitchen floor for 3 hours, and he delivered me. But one of the things that I love about this school is that we see and understand entire sanctification. It's what our whole denomination is built on. And I come away from this school with a clear understanding of what it means to have that second work of grace in our lives.
Thank you, Sam.
My name is Chris Hain. I played John in 1999. What you brought up, Sam, reminded me probably the most vivid thing I can recall, and it has to do with the character of the school. I was taking Doctrine of Holiness with Dr. Garcia, and we had a particularly difficult time in the Hain household. Probably none of you ever experienced any kind of stress while you were at Bible College. We did. We experienced a lot of stress. And that stress impacted my ability to focus and study, and taking a midterm exam in his class. And I remember going into that deal just going, I'm just going to blow this thing out. It's awful. I don't even think I should even take the test. And I did my best with it. Got about halfway through. And got out of the classroom, and Dr. Garcia was sitting in the back of the room, and I handed him the test, and I said, I know this is not my best work, but I can't do this. I got so much on my heart and mind right now. And he took that test, and he met me out in the hallway, and he says, you know what, Chris, we're not going to worry about this exam. We're going to pray. We're going to talk about this. And just his love and just coming around me, not being the hey, you just got a 50% on this grade on your exam, but a loving, caring person at the Bible College that was pivotal for me. I think that was my second year here, and that typified the character I saw in all the people here in leadership. It was really neat. Really neat.
Thank you, Chris. Over here to Bill. I was going to give you a time limit, but you're doing so well. I was going to say 60 seconds. That's 1 minute.
I have a couple quick memories. How many of you had T. Creighton Mitchell? I remember I had him in a summer intensive, so there were hours of lecture, and it was for Psalms, and I'd have to go home, and I'd have to read the Psalms, and I'd be reading the Psalms in my mind with a brogue. It was the weirdest thing. And I had, my favorite professor here was Brother Baldwin. I loved Brother Baldwin. And he challenged me, he pushed me. And I remember in one class, we came in, we had to turn in notebooks. And he said, I've decided we're going to forego the final exam. And I went to the main admin building and I said, you're not going to believe this, but Brother Baldwin just dropped the final exam. And I forget who it was, but one of the faculty stopped and said, we must be under a new dispensation of grace.
I didn't say it, but I believe it.
My name's Kevin Barrett, and thanks be to God, I'm graduating this year. But I need to... Thanks, Tom. I got a cheerleading section here. But thanks be to God, the faculty and staff here at Nazarene Bible College are not only unique, but they're loving. And I need to share with you, I'd be wrong if I didn't, about a woman, a wonderful woman, who's directly impacted my life. Back in 2005, my freshman year, okay, here we go. A lot of us guys heard about the dreaded English comp and the research paper, and doggone it, you better do it, and you better do it well, because if you don't, you're going to see green pencil marks and red pencil marks all over your paper. And the reason why I'm saying what I'm saying is because I was a half hour from quitting that class. A half hour. I prayed to God, and he said, hey, and then in the Kevin Barrett translation, hey, bonehead, you're not trying hard enough. You can't quit something you haven't tried hard enough on. So I did not quit. So then God put it on my heart to share this with this wonderful woman. And if you know her, trust me, you know this wonderful woman. Her name is Patsy Crane. She came up with her finger and she says, I wouldn't have let you quit. Professor Crane, we made it. Amen. And a lot of us love you very much. Thank you.
Dr. Attuck was talking about how he chose apostles, And as the campus population has shrunk over the years, that pool of available gentlemen has necessarily shrunk as well. So the year that I played Matthew in 2006, I knew that I was probably on his list somewhere, probably not near the top, but probably somewhere in the mix. And that it was about that time of year where I was sure that he made those phone calls or, you know, made those invitations. I happened to be pastoring locally at the time, and I was at the parsonage and answered the phone in the kitchen. And those of you who had Dr. Adick for a class, which is probably most of us in the room who graduated from here, know that he chooses his words very carefully, and his conversation is always very measured. I think that's probably a consequence of the class that you teach, speech particularly, but other things. So he goes into his thing about, you know, all of you heard, I'm sure, you know, it's time to pick the apostles for the apostles' court ceremony at convocation, and I've been going over my list, and I'd like you to, and he was very dignified about it. And on the phone, and of course he can't see me because we're on the phone, I'm saying, thank you, Dr. Adick, I'm very humbled, I'm very pleased that you chose me. And on the other side of the phone where he couldn't see me, I was fist pumping and doing the happy dance around the kitchen because I really did want to be an apostle and I knew I couldn't ask him. But I was thinking about that memory the other day and thought it would be a good laugh today. So there you go.
I don't know if my memory will take me back that far. But I was sitting out there today, and I remember Audrey Williamson began this. And when I sat there, she, first of all, when I was saved and I went in the ministry, I asked the Lord to make sure that when I opened my mouth, I didn't cuss. One day in class, I happened to give a speech. And for some reason, I always said, I've got a good idea. And I said that, and Audrey come right off her seat, and she said, what did you say? And I said, Lord, you promised I wouldn't swear. And I realized it's got an A in there, not an R. But I sat out there today, and I could see Audrey Williamson. When we had our rehearsals for the first apostles, everybody had to have their pant legs rolled up because she didn't want to see anything but sandals and legs. But she took her little chair and started with John, and she went, moved that chair around, and this is, I have to demonstrate this. She had a regular chair like this, and she was sitting on the edge of that, just like that, holding on one hand, pointing at her. I mean, reading every word that we were saying, and her hand was going 90 miles an hour. And for some reason, I saw Audrey going around out there this morning, and I know that she, if she could talk to us today, she'd be so proud of all of us, because we not only portrayed an apostle, but we became apostles. And I thank Audrey for helping me understand that in Vermont we say it one way, in her class you got to say it the right way.
Hi, I'm Will Mackey, 1990 Matthew. Bill mentioned Dr. Mitchell. Started me thinking. My very first day in class, he's calling the roll. And my name's Mackey, and he called my name Will McKay. And like an idiot, I said, excuse me, it's not McKay, it's Mackey. And he looks down his glasses at me, and he says, I'm so sorry you mispronounced your own name. Now, I wasn't very smart, but I was smart enough to say, yes, sir. I had him for the next 3 years, and every single class he called me McKay.
Bless his memory. Yeah, some of you didn't have the privilege of having T.C. Mitchell for a class. One of the foremost scholars, Wesley scholars, in the world. I think he was considered in the top four. And a wonderful professor on our campus for many years.
Jeff. Well, I waited till today to have my experience here at NBC. I thought I did everything right for the 5 years that I was here, from 93 to 98, and I was the Apostle John in 1996. But today was probably the greatest moment, because when we were standing behind John the Apostle, and then everyone was seated, this first gentleman over here with his wife, I went down and sat next to his wife. I looked at her, she looked at me, I figured out, oh, excuse me, you're not my wife, and so I did real good the 5 years I was here. I didn't do so good today.
Love those memories.
Okay, so I'm not an apostle, obviously, but but I'm the wife of a former apostle, and I think probably most of the wives here could probably echo this. I'm just certain of it, that if any of our husbands had taken sick or keeled over or something, that we probably could have stepped into the robe and said the lines for them. Thank you. But in all seriousness, I just want to say that five of probably either the toughest and the best years that we spent in our lives and in our marriage for sure were the years that we spent here at Nazarene Bible College. And every time I walk through the doors here, I feel like I've never left. It will always feel like home, and I'm so grateful for that.
Does anybody have a wife I can sit by?
Where's the Kodak camera right now? We missed that. We'll edit that out of the video.
My name is Walt Wilkinson, and I was Jude in 2007. And my time here, I graduated last year, and I don't really have nothing funny to say, but mine's more on a serious note. But Nazarene Bible College has shown that we have such a gracious and faithful God. My time here, I made mistakes, and he was so gracious, and he loved me, and he carried me through, and he was so faithful in bringing me through. And Nazarene Bible College was not easy for me, working full-time and going to school, and it was stressful, and I had some tough years, but God has been faithful, and he's been gracious. I met my beautiful wife, Victoria, here, and we've been married 3 years, and he's continuing to be faithful. And so it was a blessing to be here, and it's a blessing to be here with all of you. And may God bless you all in your ministries, and thank you for every single one of you.
My name is Glenn Robinson. 2004, Bartholomew, even though I stood behind Thomas today.
There are some other guilty ones here. I was taking roll.
Yes, I confess. I'd like to say that I have a lot of fond memories of this place, particularly all the professors. I want to thank each and every one of you who made a transformation in my life come to life. And I thank you, and I just say God bless you for that. But one of my fondest memories was here in this room during that period of time, where I was really seeking God, because I really didn't know God and we didn't really have a connection. And during chapel service, after in between classes, we came in here, and the message was so strong, many went down front to have prayer for them. And seeking God, I was up there on my knees, and I feel this heavy, heavy hand lightly touch on my shoulder. And I said, could this be? And then I hear this voice, thunderous voice, starting to pray for me. And I said, oh my God, can it be real? And to tell you the truth, I had to peek. I had to peek. As it turned out, it was only Dean Stelting. But again, God bless all of you for helping me make a difference in my life and those who I come in contact with. God bless you.
My name is Mike Wilson, graduated 1978. In 1977, I was Andrew. Finishing up school in that sophomore year, I heard that Dr. Charles Baldwin was one of the professors for the seniors in the Bible department, and I was scared spit dry. I heard that he was pretty tough on that last class of seniors. So I was quite nervous about going into his class the next year. As it turned out, if you can have a favorite, he was it. I learned a lot from him. One day over in the Springs Church, I was talking with him at the back of the sanctuary, and I said, I'm about to graduate. I want to continue education, but I'm just about to turn 40. I have a wife, three children. I don't know if we can keep doing this. He said, Mike, do this. Love the people. Preach the word. And you can write your ticket anywhere in the Church of the Nazarene. It's still working.
We can take two more. Jeff will be our first. If there's anyone else that would like to, we'll take one more after Jeff.
Thank you. I often hear these words, pray, love God, and preach the people. Preach the word. Those came from Charles Baldwin, just ingrained in my head. He also said in the very first class that we had, which was an intro to the Bible class, he leaned over his little lectern and said, as of right now, you do not have one single point. And we were just stunned. We were freshmen. This is a Bible college. Love and joy. And we all stared at him. And he said, I tell you this because I love you. Let's begin. And we began. I had a distinct advantage when it came to Dr. Mitchell. My mother-in-law is from Scotland. So he would be lecturing so fast. And I'd see students just like giving up. And I just thought I was having a conversation with my mother-in-law. Just going right along. I was able to keep up with that. But when I came to Bible College on August 9th, 1984, we were reminiscing last night. We pulled up. It was a cloudy day. It was cold. We had just come from California. We had two children. And my wife was pregnant with our son who was born our spring semester, our spring quarter. And I came here and I didn't know who I was. I didn't know anyone here. And wasn't sure what we were doing here. And I didn't know who I was. When I left here, I knew to whom I belonged. And I knew whose I was. I cannot express enough appreciation to the investment, the selfless investment of our professors and our administration and faculty today. I just thank God for you. I thank God for your sacrifice. And I would be remiss if I did not say that if it wasn't for Dr. Ron Attic, I don't know if I would have made it through Nazarene Bible College. And the formation that took place and continues to take place in my life as a result of his selfless investment in my life. When he asked me to be John in 1986, it was just such a, it was so opposite of who I was when I came here. And for him to believe that I could do that transformed me. And I began to adopt some of the things that John was saying to me in my life. So I really thank God for every single one who's invested. I especially thank God for you, Dr. Attuck, the difference you've made in my life, the things you've taught me about the rhythm with God and what it means to be his friend. But I do need to tell you that one time I went into his office, and I wasn't being very loving and kind. I wasn't being very John-like, that's for sure, regarding another student. And I said to him, why is he here? He shouldn't be here. He shouldn't be here. He needs to get his act together. He shouldn't be here. And this was in my early days of formation when he got hold of my neck and had brought me into his office. And he said this to me. He said, don't you ever forget, Jeff, that Nazarene Bible College is a place of redemption. And I thank God for the redemption that took place in my life. Thank you. Thank you, all of our faculty. And I praise God for this place.
Okay, one more. It'll be Gary Slusher.
I'm Gary Slusher. I graduated in 1980. I was Matthew in 1979. I think we need to have one memory of Dr. G.B. Williamson. And I was in his class on the book of Acts. It was the final class he taught at Nazarene Bible College. And in fact, halfway through the class, I was diagnosed with the cancer that eventually killed him and gave up the class, and Dr. Earhart, Arnold Earhart, completed that class. I was a treasurer of the student body at that time. And one of my responsibilities was to send flowers to sick people. And so Cheryl and I, my wife Cheryl and I, went to the florist and bought a bouquet of flowers and decided we would take it to the hospital to give it to him in person. And we walked into his hospital room. His wife Audrey, who changed the way I spoke, was sitting there. His daughter, Maylou Cook, was there. There was an old retired pastor, a mighty preacher of the word, his name I can't recall, and his wife. And Dr. Williamson was in his bed. We gave him the flowers, and we had a little conversation. And then he said, Brother Slusher, would you pray for me? And that act changed my life and my perception of who I was in Jesus Christ. I'll always be grateful for Nazarene Bible College, Dr. Williamson, Audrey Williamson, Charles Baldwin, T. Crichton Mitchell, Floyd Perkins, Janet Williams, and on down the line of all of these people who molded me from a lump of clay into something useful for the master service, and including Professor Attuck, who had the distinction of being the only professor I had who did not give me an A. In our first speech class. And I went to him when I got my grades and I said, you know, you gave me a B+. You know how much difference there is between an A- and a B+? And he said, yes, I do, and you got a B+. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you for the B+. I hear stories all the time that I don't recall. But then how would I know I'm the only one that gave him less than an A? Thank you for your wonderful memories. I guess I'm glad I opened the mic to you. What a joy it has been to hear your stories. I have two more things that I want to be features of our time together, and we'll try to move through those. And the first is, at the last two reunions that we've had, we've honored one person with a distinguished recognition that we call the honorary apostle. This is given to someone who is not a student at NBC and will never be asked to participate as an apostle in our annual ceremony. At this reunion, we're giving this special honor to Dr. Alan Like, and I would like for him to come up here and stand beside me. Dr. Like joined our faculty here at Nazarene Bible College in 1995 and has served in pastoral ministry prior to that in the Church of the Nazarene. Currently, he serves on our faculty as the Dr. Eugene and Faye Stowe Professor of Pastoral Care. He is the chair of the Church Ministries Department and the director of Pastoral Ministries Program. As college chaplain, he has participated, as he did this morning, in the calling and response of the apostles at our commencement season convocations since 2002. His life and ministry beautifully exemplify the spirit of Christ's disciples. He is known among us as one who is faithful, one who demonstrates love. He truly is a man totally dedicated to the calling God has given him, and the mission of NBC. To officially welcome him into our ranks, we're going to present to him a lapel pin, which is the green card, and a certificate of recognition. So I'm going to pin the pin on him. None of you got one in a gold box. This is our favored cloisonne pin, and you are now to become an honorary apostle.
No problem.
And the certificate reads, Honorary Apostle conferred on Dr. Alan Like on this 29th day of May, 2010, Apostles' Reunion, 35th anniversary of the Call and Response of Apostles, Nazarene Bible College, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
The next feature is something that has been just an incredible joy to me. My secretary, Sharon Mattson, has been scanning hundreds of pictures for me from our photo albums. And if you have not looked at the photo albums, they are out in the foyer on a couple of tables out there for you to view. We are missing some pictures, obviously, but the ones we had, she has just spent hours doing that for me. And so we had electronic copies of the pictures. And I wanted to somehow share those with you, but I wasn't sure how to do it. So I asked my daughter to help with this project, and she so graciously responded. And you are about to see what she has put together for us. This video will trace all 35 years. Don't get nervous, it only takes 5 minutes. Now, here's the deal. The pictures will move in and out with some quickness. And if you don't remember the year you were an apostle, look on your name tag, and that should be accurate. You will be seeing group pictures for all of the years that we had, and which is most of them. And if we did not have a group picture, we have some pictures to put in. And so you will see a group picture. If we had a picture of you, an individual picture of you, we have handpicked those so that you could be featured for this reunion luncheon. So watch for yourselves. If you don't see your individual picture, at least you would see your picture somewhere, we believe, in the video. And I just need to say that this has brought tears to my eyes, so I'm going to try my best to control myself as I watch it again. But it just reminds me of the dedication of our apostles and how God has blessed them. I look back at the original moments that we will see, and then I look at you now, and I am so grateful for the way God has blessed you. So we're going to roll that video at this point.
Apostles are these.
There's a call going out across the land in every nation.
The first, Simon, who is called Peter.
A call to all who swear allegiance.
And Andrew,
to the cross of Christ.
James, the son of Zebedee.
Called to true humility.
And John, his brother.
Responsible. To deepen our devotion,
Philip,
to the cross at any price,
and Bartholomew.
Let us then be sober,
Thomas,
moving only in spirit,
and Matthew the publican,
as aliens and strangers,
James the son of Alphaeus,
a hostile foreign land,
and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus.
The message we're proclaiming,
Simon the Canaanite,
repentance and forgiveness.
The voice of Judas Iscariot is silent. Let none follow his example.
To love the Lord our God is the heartbeat of our mission, the spring from which our service. The passion of the flame, spewing light unsparingly throughout a darkened room. Let us burn to know him deeper than our service flaming bright. We'll radiate his passions and blaze with holy light. Jesus, the Lord.
I think you'd like to give a round of applause to my lovely daughter, Heather, who happens to be here today. Editor and producer of A Great Memory. What is so special now is for me to tell you that we have applied for copyright permission because of the song. We have asked Brentwood Benson for permission to duplicate that, and we received that permission this week. And in Heather's generous spirit, she took the master copy and had copies made for all of the apostles. So it is now time for you to receive your gift. And she has those, and I need some people to help her pass those out. And there is a special edition that will go to the year, those who were apostles in the year 1985. So if you know that you were in 1985 and you're offered one of these, would you just turn it down and take the 1985? In fact, maybe, Heather, do you have the 1985s? Okay, let's see who those three people, I think there should be three people that are from 1985. The special edition of this, I know who you are, I'll just look it up. Wes Barnhill, John Leitzel, and Bruce Tallman. '85. Over here is John Leitzel. Apostle in 1985. Yeah. Well, the reason those are special editions is because we found some footage of all of the apostles speaking in a video presentation, speaking their parts in 1985. So we're letting them have that chapter on their DVD, and we think that'll be a fun thing for them to have. But what you have now on your DVD is what you just saw, and all of the stills of all the pictures. So hopefully you can enjoy those. Just the group photos, excuse me, I said that wrong. Okay. But what a treat for us to have those for you. I'm just delighted to give that to you as a memento of this occasion. I have several recognitions I'd like to make before we are dismissed, and I take this very seriously because there is no way an event like this could happen without a lot of support. So I first of all want to thank the former apostles who live here in Colorado Springs, who were a part of the work day 2 weeks ago, and they worked very hard out here on the court to beautify it for this weekend. They engaged in hard labor, and I know that because I have pictures to prove it. And there were several ASG, that is Associated Student Government officers, that helped with the project, and even family members that helped with that project. So they spread a lot of mulch out there on the outside of the court, and it looks beautiful, and I want to thank them for doing that. If you were a part of that workday project, would you stand and let us thank you for that? Yep. Thank you, men. We probably had three times that many that were involved in that project, and I want to thank them seriously. Sharon Mattson is our faculty secretary in our building, and she has given enormous clerical support during this time. She has worked diligently for the past 12 months and longer to update the contact information we have on the apostles, and today I honor her for her persistence and her perseverance. And I discovered she's a spy. She really knows how to find you if there's a way to find you. And she has shared my excitement in planning for this reunion. And even in the middle of some health challenges that she's had during these last few weeks, she has not hesitated to pursue this project. And I say a great thank you to her. Would you please do the same? Is Linda Stevenson in the room? I need Linda Stevenson to come in, if she will. Linda is a retired staff member here at the Bible College. She has served in various positions. One of those was the assistant to our academic dean. Linda, please come forward. Join me here. And she has been responsible for the meal that we have enjoyed today. She came to me about a year ago, and she said, if you needed help on your reunion, just let me know. And I didn't forget it, because we were operating on a dime here. And I said, Linda, I would love for you to put together the meal. And she just tackled that. I did not worry one bit. And you see what we got for that volunteer. And I am just delighted to present Linda to you and to say thank you to her. And then she had, I think, six people helping you back there in the kitchen. Are they there?
Sort of back there. They're some of them had to leave.
Okay, but
I have a team.
Okay.
That's Anita, Mike and Anita Hamilton, and Al Gephardt, Joyce Fennessy, my daughter Mary, and Faith Kirby.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
The table decorations today have been just delightful and refreshing. Not just the flowers, but everything about it. It just looks so festive, and it's my great privilege to introduce Karen Arambidi and Cheryl Graves, who helped with this. Their creative touch has made the atmosphere for this gathering very special. So, ladies, would you please come forward? I have a gift for you. There are many others. Joshua Loring has been running our sound. He is a former apostle and a great servant of all of us. Campus maintenance crew. Well, give Joshua a hand. Many more. Campus maintenance crew has been so gracious to set up in here for us and tear down. People have been preparing those mug gifts that you have on your table. There should be one for each person there. Please take that with you and pray for Nazarene Bible College when you see the seal on your mug. Preparation of name tags has been done by various people. Many other details have been taken care of by many more people, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but I will just say thank you to all of you who have been such a help in this process. A few announcements I'd like to make. There are the photo albums, the memory books that I talked about out there on the table, if you would like to look at those. We are trying to get more pictures because there are some years that are very slim, and if you have any pictures that you wouldn't mind scanning and sending to us, trusting us to scan them and get them back to you, we'd be glad to do that. It is my obsession that the archives of this institution should remember this. Contact information is something that we are always have a concern for. So please keep us informed if you move or if you change your email address. We do want to stay in touch with you, because who knows, we may be doing another one of these someday. Facebook Friends has been a very interesting social networking support for this event. Many of you did sign up there and saw some of the messages that were left and some of the pictures that were posted there. We have used email to find missing apostles, and we still have a list of about, I think, Sharon, there might be 20 names there, I'm not sure. Pardon? At least, she says. Yeah, it's considerably less than it was when we started this. And so if I send you an email and I give that list to you, if you know any of them or where we might be able to contact them, that would be great. Just the other day on Facebook, I put Steve Briggs' picture up there, and I wrote in there, does anybody know where Steve Briggs is? And for probably 2 weeks, no one responded. And finally, Tim Martin, who's here somewhere, Tim said, yeah, Tim wrote on there, last I knew he was a DS. And I thought, then it hit me, Free Methodist Church, Ithaca, New York. You know, I started putting some pieces together, and I won't give you all the detail, but I found somebody that knew how to forward my email to Steve Briggs, and I got a beautiful response back, and we're reconnecting. He has a son that lives here in Colorado Springs. In fact, he was just here in April for his grandson's birthday. So I will be cultivating that connection with Steve Briggs now. And so it's just kind of exciting to find these people that we thought were missing. There should be a group picture available to you. I am not sure how we are going to make that happen, but we will find the right way, either through our website or some other website where you could download that. And we want you to have that memory, that souvenir of this time together. So just be patient. We'll try to let you know how we're going to handle that. The gifts on the table that I mentioned, the mugs for each person attending, is a courtesy of the college, and I want to thank Mr. Mike Aaron Beatty for making that a possibility for us. And you take that with you. If you have pictures, I think I've mentioned that, please let us know about that. And I want to encourage you to stay around as long as you want to here. We're in no rush to get away this evening. Many of you are attending the alumni banquet at the DoubleTree Hotel. And if you are alumni graduate banquet, if you are, I'm sure you're gauging your afternoon. But please take as much time as you want in connecting with others. I would like to just review a few words that we heard sung here on the commemorative presentation, video presentation, because I think they fit us so well, and I think they present a challenge to us. To love the Lord your God is the heartbeat of our mission, the spring from which our service overflows. Across the street or around the world, the mission's still the same. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name. As a candle is consumed by the passion of the flame, spilling light unsparingly throughout a darkened room, let us burn to know him deeper, that our service, flaming bright, will radiate his passions and blaze with holy light. I've asked our chaplain and now honorary apostle, Dr. Alan Light, to come and pray a closing prayer and benediction for us, and then after that, you are free to leave. Thank you.
Stand, please, with me. There is a common practice I discovered yesterday at our rehearsal. When the apostles pray together, you saw pictures, they pray like this. So I want you to at least grab the hands of those folks that are next to you as we pray. Father, we don't have enough words to convey all that we are feeling, all that we've experienced. We're sharing a room with testimonies of your grace. Ernie's description of his coming to faith in in you, and then his yes to your call, and then the challenge and all that he experienced while he was a student in Nazarene Bible College. It's the story of every student in this room. By your grace, you gave us life. By your grace, you called our names. By your grace, you made it possible for us to say yes. By your grace, you made it possible for us to complete this part of our journey. By your grace, you have kept us to this day. We give you praise. We give you praise. And we ask, we declare our dependence on your grace for today and tomorrow. We look forward to the next time that we're together to be able to say that you have worked in our lives, that you have been leading us, and this new expression of your grace in our lives is our fresh testimony of being sent ones, of being apostles who have said yes. We pray, make it so. We pray, make it so. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. We're dismissed.